Hello, everybody. Welcome to RPG Cast, episode 532 for February 15th, 2020. Happy post Valentine's Day, everybody.
Woo-hoo. Happy Valentine's Day.
Hello,
Happy Valentine's
Peter.
Day.
Hello, Peter Thomas.
Hello.
Hello, Josh Carpenter.
Hello, hello.
Hello, Kelly Ryan.
Hello.
Hello, Anna Marie Privateer.
I'm back.
She's back. Minus
She's back.
A kidney stone. I'm Chris Privateer. I might have already said that. Simon's on my desk being slow, placid, and router warming. Scotty is on Josh's desk knocking literally all the things off all the places and deleting reviews. So, well done.
Yeah.
This is RPG Cast for you.
My cats are being surprisingly quiet today.
Oh, yeah?
I think they're all upstairs trying to get into my husband's donut holes.
Is that a euphemism?
Yeah, that sounded bad.
Yeah.
No, just we went to Dunkin'.
Cats in there.
We went to Dunkin',
okay.
And we got donut holes.
Got it. All right.
His cat Jack is very obsessed with sugar, and when he eats, he got into blueberry muffins once and destroyed the house. It was funny. Well, funny now, not funny at the time.
Destroyed the house.
Yeah, there was a path of destruction.
Mm.
Tore down a bunch of wall scrolls, shredded some toilet paper.
It's like, I found sugar!
Yep.
Okay. Well.
That was like 10 years ago, though.
Kelly, 10 yes? years? I feel like that's how long the Sonic movie was in the making.
Yeah, it seemed like it.
And you finally saw it.
I saw it and I loved it.
It's good?
Yes.
I don't believe you. It can't be. It's a video game movie. How is this possible?
It was really good. It surprisingly had some very funny moments. A meme got referenced, which kind of just blew my mind. It made me laugh my ass off. And then the mid-credit scene that was the final scene in the movie set up a sequel, and I nearly embarrassed my husband in the theater because I squeed very loud when something happened.
So you're saying they don't kill Sonic off in this movie?
No.
like they would in a kids movie. All right.
No, there was a scene that I thought that they was going to like reference the Sonic 06 infamous moment, but they didn't go there.
Oh.
But no, it was really good. I really had a lot of fun with it. And
it's for the unrated cut later, Kelly.
The only thing that bugged me is that the whole time I'm thinking, would this have been good with the older, crappier model?
I bet you it was almost the same movie, but what do I know?
I don't know. It just kind of, that thing was in the back of my mind the whole time, particularly with the scenes in the trailer where the old model was. And yeah, no, it's good. You guys should go see it. It's a lot of fun.
I heard Jim Carrey was kind of like up to, had turned himself up to 11 as Robotnik.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. He was not the fun, playful Robotnik that I'm used to in Sonic Boom.
So, Jim Carrey up to 11 is like, is that Grinch Jim Carrey?
Yeah.
Okay. Ugh. No thanks.
Full Grinch, full Andy Kaufman.
Can he go outside? Can he talk other than just out of the side of his mouth is my question. Because that's my problem with the Grinch movie. His every line is delivered like this, and it just makes me cringe every time I hear him talk.
No, he was full volume.
Okay, good.
In that. Very, very over the top.
Okay. Well, we've got an approval from Sonic. So I feel like this is your year, Kelly. You've got Sonic and what was the other thing you get this year? Shoot.
Red 13 plush.
Red 13 plush, yep. And FF7. Like, last year you got your Kingdom Hearts. Like, you're done. You could just die now, right?
Chris?
What?
No. Thanks a lot.
Oh, what?
And no, I still have much to live for.
It's like positive fulfillment, not negative death wishing. Come on.
2 to 3 more parts of the Final Fantasy VII movie.
Okay.
Or Final Fantasy VII game.
Right, we need to see it finish.
I think you said it right the first time.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy VII movie.
A potential Sonic sequel.
Okay. That's got good alliteration, too. Sonic sequel.
Maybe a Kingdom Hearts 4, maybe?
Oh, all right.
Shin Megami Tensei 5. I have a lot to
look SMT.
For, so.
Okay, you're right. I'm sorry. There will always be another Persona, so we're good. You get to. Your heart will go on.
Chris wishing death on me.
I didn't wish death on you. I said you were done and could feel fulfilled. This doesn't make it sound any better, so I'm going to move on. What did you play, Kelly?
Mass Effect.
Oh, right. You're doing that to yourself.
Yeah, so I got to, like, the big decision part, and unfortunately Ashley had to die, because I kind of didn't like her, because I find her to be a catty bitch.
Not into space the space racist? So I went with
Ashley.
I chose Ashley, because I felt like it was better than completely no personality Kaiden, but, you know...
Yeah.
Whatever.
It's a fair choice, because she is space racist.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And ended up having sex with Kaiden.
Everybody else on your team okay?
Yeah.
After that mission?
Yeah, I comforted Rex.
Yeah, all right.
He's okay now. We're all good.
All right. I don't know if you knew. There was a chance that could go south, and you wouldn't have him anymore.
I knew about the sex scenes. I always thought that it was just going to be like stupid PG-13 sex scenes. And then when there was like full nudity and side boob, I was like, okay.
I mean, obviously, you know that your goal should be to bed Tali, right? So I guess you can't do it in the first game, can you?
No, that's game 3, isn't it?
No, it's game 2. Oh,
is it
game 2? I think it's 2.
Yeah, it's game 2.
Okay.
I saved myself in the first game just for Tali. I found out, because I liked her in the first.
I'm just going to, spoil something minorly so that you don't set yourself up for disappointment. No, they won't show you her face.
Okay.
Even if you bet her, which is the main reason I did it.
What is that like? No, keep the mask on.
No. It's implied that she takes the suit off. And she's like, I'm going to be on so many drugs for weeks, but it'll be worth it.
Kind of. I don't know. I don't want to spoil anything, but I don't agree with what Chris said.
I'm just disappointed that I can't bed Rex.
I know.
I don't know why. I guess you just can't handle the Krogan.
I guess not.
I'll be honest with you, there's an even better specimen of Krogan in your future. So one might say a paragon of Kroganity.
but you can't bed that either?
I honestly don't know, actually.
I don't remember.
You can see how many people are really interested in messing with the Krogans. Not this cast.
It's just, that's how weird I am. If I can't, like, bed the long-haired pretty boy in a game, then I will go for just the absolute weirdest partner you can possibly go for.
And Mass Effect gives you some of those.
Yay!
Can you do Garrus in the... No, you can't.
Yeah, you can do Garrus in the first game.
In the first game? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I was a guy.
Crap, I should have went for him.
I don't know if that was an option with him. All right.
Oh, yeah. Well.
How's the rest of the game besides the dating?
I like that this is all Mass Effect turns into every time. It's like, who'd you have sex with? Who'd you have sex with?
I'm having fun. Like I said, I'm playing it on the easiest difficulty possible. So I've just been...
That's fine.
Battles have just been marching in with the assault rifle with poison rounds and just mowing down stuff. Did that boss effect or that
boss
fight with Saren. Didn't know if you could talk him out of fighting you or not. I tried to, but in the end it still ended up fighting him. And I'm like on chapter 7 right now.
Yeah, I don't
think... Oh, you can?
No, I don't think that you can.
Okay.
Is what I want to remember. Because I remember loading that fight like 10 times. So I must have been trying to do that.
So yeah, I just hijacked the Normandy out of the space, out of the Citadel, and now I'm just waiting to go to the next part. That's where I'd ended Wednesday night. And then Thursday night, I had to help record a backtrack, so I didn't get a chance to play. So I don't know if I'm going to finish the game this weekend or not.
I just, I'm very disappointed at Marina Sirtis's involvement, because, like, she's already out of the story at the point you're at, right?
I guess.
Yeah, I think so. It's like, come on. I want more of her. I just remember being disappointed at that. And then you make your choice with the bugs yet?
Yes, I did. Okay. I let the bugs live.
Ah, okay.
Because I felt kind of bad for them, and they said the master bugs said that they would repent. And that scene reminded me of the scene in Independence Day with Brent Spiner.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you for having a soul.
Yeah.
You can look forward to the games not making good on that choice in the future.
See, that's why I'm glad I'm kind of playing this after the fact, knowing that a lot of the stuff doesn't matter in the end, because that way I'm not kind of caught up in that hype.
Like, they take until game 3 to actually get back to that.
Yeah, I was going to say, it is implemented.
Yeah, okay. But like, only because people bitch so much about it in game 2 is the feeling I got.
That's okay. I'm with Kelly. That's why I was glad I played late.
But it also has, like, no real impact is the real complaint. Like, you made this choice here that should have a big deal.
Galactic readiness.
You don't start with me, Josh. You're talking to somebody who actually did go ahead and max that out. So I had to get my numbers up.
So does maxing these TPS out the galactic, reports. Does get maxing out the galactic readiness even matter?
It you does. Have to get it up to a certain level to get the best endings.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go with yes.
Ignore Chris. Line. He's bitter.
Exceedingly.
But as I recall, you don't have to get it all the way to 100% to get the best ending.
Okay.
It was basically like do enough of the side quests. You didn't even like you could
just get to 3 already. I want to talk to you about that ending some more.
Okay. I will make an attempt. I just need to know.
We have to deal with the guy from the Allstate commercials. We need to deal with the guy from Martin Sheen. We need to deal with alien guy you talk to. Oh, there's so much to deal with and unpack.
I just need to know one thing. Is the mini-map better in the sequels?
Oh.
I don't know.
I don't remember. I don't remember what it was in the first one.
In the first one, like, the mini-map just shows where mobs are, but it doesn't show, like, the little layout of the actual map. And that's been driving me crazy because I get lost and turned around very easily. So every time I get lost, I have to open the start menu and then open the map again.
So you're just talking about, like, wall borders and stuff?
Yeah.
I think there are in 2 and 3.
Okay, thank God.
Well, it's because open in 2 and 3. You know, 1 has the parts where you can just wander around the worlds and the moons, and that's gone in 2 and 3. So it's more a portal shooter in 2 and 3.
Yeah, but it's definitely less like just a radar of like, you know, in this general direction, but good luck finding it.
Yeah, because I hate that about that mini map. And I get, it's just a directional thing. I get lost so easily. I'm also the type of person that has to have a fixed mini map because it's spinning around just confuses me even more.
That's me too, actually.
Oh, that makes me fixed. Sick.
Yeah.
I have to turn off spinning. I hate that WoW defaults to that or whatever.
I think Breath of the Wild defaults to that too.
It's awful.
Yeah, I don't see how people can play like that. Because how do you?
Your point of reference keeps changing. Like, why would you want that? Borderlands. But, worst mini map. Borderlands 3. Oh my gosh.
Can you fix that one?
No.
Wait. So they went backwards? Because I feel like they were fixed in 1 and 2.
Actually, you know what it is in Borderlands 3? The mini map can be fixed. But the main map, like the big map, is always relative.
Oh, that's bizarre.
Isn't it weird? And maybe they've patched it by the time you get to play it or something. But yeah, that's what it was for me.
It'll be a couple of years before I get to play that, because I usually wait for those games to go on sale. Mm. I'm talking like Steam sale, $5.
Okay, I was about to say, like, Borderlands was on sale like 3 weeks later for like $25.
No, I'm talking like dirt cheap.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's how I played Borderlands 1, and I haven't finished 2 yet. But, yeah, I'm hoping to finish Mass Effect 1 this weekend and get started into 2.
You probably don't have the DLC, and unfortunately, the DLC is maybe the best part of 2.
You need the DLCs for 2 and 3.
Lair of the Shadowbreaker is just like...
Oh, is that in 1? Yeah, you should...
No,
do that.
That's 2. 2, oh, okay. 2 is Lair of the Shadowbreaker.
Okay, yeah. You need DLCs for both 2 and 3, and... I'm sorry if you don't have them, but you should be getting Game of the Year editions that have them, because the party DLC in 3, you have to play that.
Yeah, that was actually a lot of fun.
How much is that DLC now? Now I'm curious.
I don't know how DLC sales work. I mean, what are you playing on, PC?
Xbox 360.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know if they did Game of the Year versions of that.
You're playing on the wrong platform, Kelly.
Yeah,
I think the PS3 version of 2 had all the DLC, because it came out later.
The DLC in 2 and 3 are not like DLC that you see in most games. Like, this actually contributes and helps with the story. So if you're playing Mass Effect... and enjoying the writing a lot.
There's actually important story in some of the 2 DLC.
So
yeah,
exceedingly Genesis, important.
There's Genesis and Arrival.
Uh huh.
Okay, Genesis is like $4. Arrival is like $7. So,
DLC on one wasn't that essential.
The Leviathan one is important.
No, I'm looking at 2.
Okay. Oh, you're looking at 2. I don't remember the others. I remember Lair of the Shadowbroker.
Yeah, Lair of the Shadowbroker you need, and you're not even seeing that, so we're not connecting somewhere. We got our wires.
No,
crossed.
I'm on Mass Effect 2's DLC page right now. Hang on, let's go to Mass Effect.
Yeah, Shadowbroker one was 2, right? Not 3?
That was 2.
It was definitely not 3.
Game
Lair of the Shadow Broker, and you don't Kasumi have a, Stolen Memory, Overlord, Arrival,
Overlord,
Z, The Price of Revenge, and Project Firewalker.
I always see like Pinnacle Station and Bring Down the Sky for Mass
that's
Effect.
That's the original. That's Mass Effect 1.
Okay, so I just need to skip Mass Effect 1 DLC entirely.
Yeah, you don't need to buy
it. Yeah, there's not really a whole lot to it.
Okay.
On the PC, you can buy all of the DLC for Mass Effect 2 for $25.
Because bear in mind, I'm wanting to play through these as like cheaply as possible.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's why I bought them in the first place.
Yeah, and so I'm trying to figure out what to do for you, because you've got your save stuck on 360. There is a way to liberate it. It's a pain in the ass.
You can
take the 360 save over to PC.
I'm just going to stick with 360.
I beat all 3 games not doing the extra DLC stuff, and they were still good. But when I did the DLC stuff, it kind of enriched the rest of it for me.
They really do have actual story content that matters in that DLC.
Yeah, I don't feel bad if you don't play it. You're not going to be like,
don't feel bad if you don't play it, but like also don't skip it. Feel bad.
We will see how I feel when I get done with the main game. Cause if I don't like the main game, then I'm not going to bother with the DLC. Yeah. But if I do find enjoyment from the main game, or if I can't put it down, then I'll investigate. Cause I'm typically not a DLC person. When I'm done with the game, I'm done.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I wasn't either until...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say season packs have ruined me.
Yeah.
Or season passes, rather.
And this is a bad example, but I got burned pretty bad with the Final Fantasy 13-2 DLC. Because that just contributed nothing. And it was like, okay, never again. But I know that Squeenix DLC is bad.
I didn't even know there was DLC for Final Fantasy 13-2.
Yeah, that's... there was like a poker mini game,
that's,
an arena.
That's DLC?
Yeah.
Oh
my gosh. So bad.
Wow.
No, this is not that kind of stuff. Like, the,
yeah.
No, this is real,
like,
DLC.
I remember the Lair of the Shadow Broker probably being the best part of the entire trilogy of Mass Effect.
Yep. I mean, Overlord, story, I think, has the like the biggest story drop of anything. Pieces.
Yeah, everything.
Yeah.
What is
I still remember finding my way across the outside of that ship in the middle of that storm.
I hate that so much.
Maybe that's a good idea if we were to like
rank the DLCs.
yeah, basically put it together in priority so that, you know, if she doesn't want to get all of it to try and find out, you know, what's best, like what would you say is like the top three pinnacle ones? Like, if you don't get anything else, at least get these. Mm-hmm. And then kind of break middle ground for her.
She should have to choose, like I said, at this point. Everything's bundled. I feel so sad that you're doing it this way.
Well, I had no idea. Like I said, these games have been off my radar for the past decade.
I feel like you should just get 2 and 3 on a different platform that has everything. But
no, I already spent money. I'm committed.
All right.
Do you have a weapon preference you've been using? Is there something?
Assault rifles.
Is it? Okay.
And the occasional shotgun when I have to get up close and personal, like with that zombie attack with the on that colony that had, I think that was the bugs. Or the boss fight was shooting the legs off the giant creature thing up that tower.
Yeah.
Then I was using the shotgun pretty heavily.
Yeah, one is a little fuzzy for me, but I do recall something like that.
I thought I was going to be more into sniper rifles, but I cannot aim worth a damn with that thing.
Yeah, yeah. And there's no way to mitigate your sway.
Mm-hmm. It's like you would think that crouching would give you just a little bit more stability, but nope. And I mean, I've tried like adding accuracy packs to it to fix it, and it just does nothing.
Yeah.
And pistols have been just a pea shooter.
Yeah, I don't remember if the later games fixed that or not. I just remember by the later games, I started moving on to the all the special abilities where you could do, you know, essentially magic and stuff.
I think I did just a straight up commando class.
Yeah, I did commando class the first game. That worked pretty well.
Yeah, same here.
I like my Omni tool.
I've just had Tali and Liara doing my tech stuff for me.
Well, you'll get to respec in the future, so you can make different choices if you want.
Yeah, because I made the mistake of having it do auto level ups at the beginning, and then that was screwing me over with like charm and intimidation. So it's like, okay, I need to turn this off and actually make choices instead of letting the thing do it for me. But because I get intimidated by that kind of stuff in Western RPGs. That's why I typically don't play Western RPGs, because I'm always like terrified I'm going to screw myself over with my crap choices. But yeah, that's all I've been playing, except for like Stella Glow on the 3DS, and that's been my bedtime game.
Yay, I love that game.
I really want to finish that this year. That's been kind of a thing just looming over me that I never finished that. And I only didn't finish it because I got distracted by other games.
I love that game so much. I played it twice.
It's been so long that I ended up having to start it over. But luckily, I think I stopped at around chapter 4, and I've gotten to chapter 3 now. So hopefully I'll be able to move past it. And yeah, just I've been really busy this week. I had to record a backtrack 2 nights this week, and that kind of took up a lot of my gaming time.
Was that separate backtracks or one that...
one main backtrack. We had to start really late because of technical difficulties Tuesday night. But it's
backtrack. They're still recording. Let's be honest.
But it'll be worth it because we're talking about a game that I changed my mind about recently.
I'm so proud of you.
And the Chrono Trigger one came out this week, too. So if you want to hear me talk drunkenly about the plot of Chrono Cross and try to make sense of it, there's your show. I'm
trying to decide if that's a good thing or not.
It depends on your perspective. Because halfway through, Wheels said, if she's not making sense, don't worry. It doesn't make sense in the game either.
Yeah.
And that's that game.
Accurate statement.
Accurate statement, yes.
But I still love the crap out of that game. The story makes no sense whatsoever. And yet, if you hand it to me now and it's like, play, I'm like, okay.
Isn't that the one where you get a cactus in your party? No, wait, yeah. That's Shadow Hearts. Or is it both? I can't keep it
there's
straight.
There's plant people in the party in that. There's a voodoo doll, a pink dog.
I've never played the Shadow Hearts games, and I think that maybe I need to.
That's on my to-do list at some point. I have all three of them.
Who developed those games in Japan? Nobody knows.
It's
been a while.
I mean, I know, like,
silent.
You don't know Josh, right? Nobody does.
Yeah.
A Wikipedia article, Sacknoth. I've never heard of that developer.
Boy, yeah, never heard of them.
They're published by
Midway
Ghostlight.
The first one.
Yeah.
So, like, who knows who owns the rights to those? But okay, gotcha.
I really want to play the third one in that series because it has a calico cat in your party.
Yeah.
You know, that might be my JRPG July this year. We'll see. My JRPG July usually changes like 4 times before July actually rolls around, so.
Yeah, the last 2 weeks of June is Kelly going between like the 10 possible games that she could play for a JRPG July. You're getting a good head start this year.
Yeah.
Because they always release stuff that's relevant to my interests around that time.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like that's what prompted JRPG July in the first place.
I know! There's so much good stuff and so much stuff in my backlog.
Don't worry, it'll be delayed to September by then.
I'm still
Don't
haunted.
Say
that.
I'm not wrong.
I'm still haunted that I never finished Wild Arms 3, or 5.
Which one?
Because okay. I finished 3 a long time ago. Anyway, I've been going on for too long. We should probably let somebody else talk. I know you guys are very interested in my Mass Effect experience.
We are obsessively so.
I love that 30 minutes of the first 45 minutes of this podcast was the guys peppering you with Mass Effect questions and advice.
Do you agree with our opinions on this? Do you agree with our opinions on this?
And like 75% of that time was, have you doinked X yet?
It's not true. It's a lie. The mischaracterization.
Listen, I'm very curious about Kelly's input just because she's the first person that I've heard who wanted to sleep with Rex. So I'm like, okay, she's got a very different mindset going into this. So.
Is that the quad balls?
She wants the quad.
Okay.
What can I say? I'm weird.
Yeah. Did you read the novels yet?
Not yet.
Oh, all right.
Oh. Questioning continues.
How about we have Peter talk about his games instead?
Fine.
Yeah, because I'm curious about Dreams.
Yeah. Mine's pretty light. Unfortunately, I didn't play more than like an hour of Dreams. Dreams is for those who don't know, is the next game from Media Molecule, who did all the Little Big Planet games. And they basically took the level builder of Little Big Planet and made it its own game and, you know, expanded upon the ideas of it. And it's fantastic. I haven't even started trying to build anything yet. I just went in and played for an hour of just like other people's creations. And I'm spooked. the kind of stuff that I played, I don't know how they crammed it into this, and made this, you know, this is something that you can do. So a lot of the similar things from Little Big Planet are there. So when you play a game, you can like and comment it. And, you know, there are trophies based on how well your stuff does. you can also iterate off of other people's stuff. So you can see that in the, like, the credits of the game. So it'll say, you know, this game title name here was an iteration of this person's creation or something. So you always get credit, you know, when somebody is spinning off of something you've started to build, which I also like a lot. Mm-hmm. But I mean, in the hour that I played a side scrolling space shooter. I played a first person, like a sneak around, you know, Metal Gear Solid S kind of game. I played a 3D isometric Diablo like. I played, what else did I play? 2D side scrolling adventure with like 3D backdrops. I mean, it was insane. I was just like overwhelmed by how much was out there already. I know they had released, I think, like an early access for people who had pre-ordered. I must have missed that because I'm pretty sure I had this pre-ordered when they announced it and never saw anything.
There was a whole thing about that like months ago.
Yeah, I must have missed it, which makes sense since if it was months ago, it was probably right around the time when Torin was born. Yeah. So, which is fine. I mean, it's no big deal. I was, like I said, having a blast just playing all these different things. The menu is incredibly easy to navigate and find, you know, what you're looking for. So they have it broken out into all these different categories. So if you're looking for something that's more storyline based, you can do that. One of the things that I saw they added was, and I can't even begin to understand how they do it, but there's actually like full cinematography that you can put into these games. So I played a third person action adventure game that let you pick between like three heroes, like a warrior, a rogue, and a wizard, whatever you want to call that style of game. And right in the beginning to tell the story, they have like a full-fledged movie and, you know, it's using the in-game engine and everything, but you know, the screen kind of comes down from the top and the bottom to give you those little black bars to show that it's in like movie mode and it's telling the story and there's narrative with it and everything. I'm like, what is going on here? I'm completely fascinated by the entire thing. I have no idea how you put something like this together, but it is phenomenal. If you are curious to see any like creations or anything like that, I think you can log in to the website. It's indreams.me and use your PlayStation Network login to check out some of the stuff. It's just screenshots on the website, but you can get an idea of just how diverse all of the creations are. There's also some connectivity that way as well. So if you use your mobile phone to go to that website, it can connect to your PlayStation and provide additional information when you're creating levels, you know, based on the tools that you're using and things like that. So, I mean, they really thought this one through. I can't wait to start like digging into the creation tools because from what it looks like, it's going to be more than overwhelming. So yeah, Dreams was amazing, and I can't wait to play more.
And this sounds like if it would have been around when I was a kid, I would have never graduated school because I would have just been all over this.
Yeah. I mean, it's one thing to talk about it, you know. It's another thing to play people's creations, but you know, I feel like I'll have a lot more to say once I actually start doing the creation myself. They had showed. I feel like this game had been in development for a while because I remember a while ago they had showed some, you know, footage of this either at an E3 or something like that where people were creating levels pretty dynamically. Like it's not as, I guess, rudimentary as maybe Super Mario Maker is. So it's a little more dynamic and it seems like it's easier for people to kind of pick up and just make their own level on the fly if they want to, or it's powerful enough for people who really master the tools that can create these like crazy, I don't even know what you want to call it, iterations, I guess, of some other styles of games. I mean, just the sheer genres of availability that's there is just incredible to me.
Cool.
So yeah, I want to dig more into that before I go any further, but I definitely think it's got a lot of promise in it. And the only other thing I've been playing, and this is the reason why I haven't dug too far into Dreams, is I'm finishing up Kakarot finally.
Finally.
I know. So I'm in the Buu saga now. I've been roaming around as the Great Saiyaman, who is the best character of all time. Not really. I'm just being an ass. But yeah, this is the last leg of the journey. I know a lot of people talk crap about this game, and you know, it's been a very hot and cold as far as reception is concerned, but I am almost 60 hours into this game. Mm-hmm. And I think that alone says enough for the amount of content that's available in it. Sure, some of the side quests can be a little mundane, especially like the fishing ones and things like that. But, I mean, that's a lot of content for an action RPG based off of an anime. Yeah. I'm pretty impressed by what they were able to shove into this game and still kind of keep the essence of Dragon Ball. And that's it.
That's good enough, though.
Yeah.
All right, that's Kelly. Josh, what have you been up to?
Oh, goodness. Like, I finally finished. I got through Chapter 3 in Trails of Cold Steel 3.
Oh.
And I'm so... Oh, God. It kills me that I can't talk about it because it's like giant spoilers, but the twist...
Oh, you mean like everything about Trails of Cold Steel? Everything's a spoiler.
Yeah, but the twist at the end of Chapter 3 is like a step beyond even a normal Trails twist. So I'm like, oh, I'm desperate to talk about it, but you know, I can't. Okay. It's unfortunate. I also picked up, the new DLC Fire Emblem Sewer Babies, as I've been calling it, or I think it's officially called Cindered Shadows, the new story-based DLC for Fire Emblem.
I like Sewer Babies better.
I think Sewer Babies is more succinct. Describes it better. So this is
why are they down there?
Yeah, so this is the fourth secret house for at the Academy that is underneath the Academy. Mm-hmm. So it's slightly better explained than you know, it's not quite as stupid as that, you know, basic description that they gave it initially made it sound like how could there be a fourth house that nobody talks about? Well, you still have to kind of suspend your ability to believe in this. But so basically the story is like, there are all these like tunnels and ruins underneath the Academy, and lots of people kind of the outcasts of society have kind of like congregated there. You know, the people who have huge debts or bounty hunters are after them, or, you know, people who are shunned in society. They all kind of like end up coalescing in this series of ruins and, you know, pretty much places underneath the Academy, and it's called Abyss. And of course, you've got four characters who you can end up, joining up with. So you have like Happy, who is like this, I believe she's a Valkyrie. You have Yuri, who is thing? He's a trickster, which was is kind of like a weird character who can use like swords and magic, and is kind of an odd one in that even though he's not a mounted unit, you can still move him after doing attacks. There's Constantine, who's a dark flyer, another like flying mage. She's kind of like a weird, perky, upbeat character. And then there's Balthus, who has like the main character, besides being slightly a meathead, he's also just has like... walks around with you know, a coat, no shirt, and just incredible abs.
I'm down for that.
Yeah, I figured. So the DLC is completely separate from the game. I mean, it boots up even right at the start screen. So it is completely divorced. It has its own separate save file and save system. And you play through it. So, you know, like you follow some miscreants who are going down into these tunnels underneath the monastery. And of course, you end up meeting up with these people and you fight. Of course, there's misunderstanding in your first map is fighting against all four of these people and their other supporters. And then, of course, you join up together. And that's where the kind of the fourth house kind of gets formed. Where, you know, like, hey, you know, the main character gets roped into kind of leading this new fourth house as well. Mm-hmm. So, like, so far, it's okay. Like, the battles themselves are really lengthy. Like, they've been taking me, like, an hour, hour and a half. I think I'm, like, on the third one now. So, I've played, like, 4.5 hours and still only on the third battle. I can't quite, it's been just long enough since I've finished Fire Emblem that I can't remember if they are completely reusing maps early on or if it's just so similar in art aesthetic that, you know, it just feels like these are reused maps.
Sure.
But yeah, I can't remember. Is this identical to what I've already played or is it just look so much like one I played 6 months ago that it makes me think that it's an identical one?
It does mean that they're not standing out.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's underground, at least at mm-hmm. this point.
Sewer babies. They make your dreams come true.
Sewer babies. So they mentioned that, you know, once you're finished with it, that you can recruit them. But you're saying that the save files are separate.
Don't know how that works yet. It's because I'm not, you know, I'm only like 4 or 5 hours in.
I thought you do it during the main game. No?
No, it's completely separate.
What?
Yeah, that's
it loads on. It loads separately from the start screen and has a separate save file.
Oh, this is strange.
It is. Yeah. But apparently, like once you've completed it, they said that there's like an opening in the Garrig Mach. Like a new place opens up and it kind of like links the two parts together. Cause it's just like, it's like a smaller version in between battles. It's just like the original game, you know, the main game, you get to wander around the monastery in between battles. And this, you get to wander around the sewers basically. And, you know, there's people and there's merchants and there's, you know, there's cats down there to stare at and all that kind of stuff. So,
Do you carry your levels or equipment or gear from your main game over? No, right?
No. No.
So you have to do this all legit for the first time. Yeah. Shoot.
Yep. Everyone, including the new character, starts at level 20.
Okay.
So you're building up from there. So I don't know where they come in. I've heard that too, that once you finish, you get to recruit them into the main game. So I don't know what level they come in at. I assume they just pick something, you know.
Yeah. For the main also poses the question of if you wanted them, do you have to start a new game because the way that Fire Emblem typically works is that, you know, there's not really, when you get past certain chapters, you don't really go back or anything. So,
right.
Yeah.
But I mean, you're supposed to new game plus this thing 4 times. So
that's sort of my question is do you get your new game plus options going into the fourth house?
No.
What?
So all of your statue stuff doesn't count.
Not as far as I know. I didn't get any option on that.
Well, it may not matter. Like, Josh is saying that this is kind of standalone, so
mm-hmm.
that stuff probably doesn't matter. But I'm assuming that if you new game plus, you know, with all of the things from the previous game, plus the new additions from this DLC, then I guess that would be how you did it. I just don't have really a desire right now to do a new game plus, so I was curious about it. I guess for someone like me, it would just be like play the DLC and then be like, okay, that was fun, and be done.
Yeah, once I finish the DLC, I'll probably try and try out the new game plus and see how it integrates.
Yeah, I'd be curious to know.
But it's like, so far so good. The new characters are interesting. They're a lively bunch, and you know, so long as you can put aside how ridiculous it is that there's, you know, the secret area underneath the monastery that the church supposedly hates and wants to, you know, wipe out, but, you know, like, didn't get mentioned once in the original game. Kind of, you know, I don't know. It feels like, you know, they knew they were going to do this right from the get-go. They announced the season pass even before the game came out. Like, they really didn't think ahead to put any hooks into the main game and story for this. It wouldn't have been that hard for them to do. You know, there could have been just some of those random people standing around the monastery who could have mentioned some stuff about the abyss and, like, the people who are living down there.
Well,
even some little tie-ins like that would have, you know, would have made it feel a little bit more normal and realistic.
Fair enough.
Yeah, well. They're apparently going to tie it into the overall mythos, and you know, they've already kind of hinted that, like, that these four characters somehow tie in with, like, the four apostles that followed around the Saint Seros. And yeah, the part I just got to kind of seems reminiscent of, like, almost like the search for the Holy Grail. So it's going to be Fire Emblem Holy Grail, at least the latter part of this DLC is. So we'll see. So far, so good. It's got me back into Fire Emblem.
That's a good thing, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else you've been up to?
No, that's enough.
All right. And I think that brings you.
It's been like a month since I've been on, so I've been playing a
all
bunch
the
of
things.
Stuff. All the things. All right, so I played and finished Tokyo Mirage Sessions, Sharp FE Encore. Please read my review. I picked up a couple of games on sale because I've been waiting for them to be on sale. So I picked up the combo pack of a normal lost phone and another lost phone. They're fine. I just think I didn't have the patience for doing all of the steps that I needed to solve the puzzles. So the story's really good in them, though, although they're kind of heavy. So don't go into those expecting a light, pleasant experience. And then I finally picked up Picross, Lord of the Nazarick. And I know nothing about this anime, but I love Picross. And this game actually does a really cool job. So the idea is you are the main character of this Nazarick anime, and you have forgotten everything that's happened. And so you are pulling up your lieutenants and having them explain to you what happened in the anime by solving Picross puzzles. And so even if you have no interest in the anime, and I don't even think it's ever been localized outside of, like, maybe some fan subs, it's a really fun Picross game, so check it out. And then I actually just finished yesterday the Dark Crystal Age of Resistance Tactics, which I'm going to be writing the review for, and I'm already kind of struggling with what I want to say about it, because it is really hard, and Josh, I think you can back me up here. It is really hard to review a mediocre game.
No, that's the worst.
Because it's not good, and it's not bad. It just kind of is. And so it's like, they had some good idea for combat, except they completely ruined it.
It makes me so sad to hear this. So I didn't know a whole lot about the whatever the franchise is that this came from.
Yeah, the Dark Crystal?
Yeah, that's it.
So there's a movie. It was like Jim Henson, Muppets.
Yeah.
And that was like the late 70s. And right, so I watched it a little bit growing up. And now there's a new series on Netflix. And this is based on a little bit of both.
Yeah, I watched the movie. I still haven't seen the Netflix series. But a buddy of mine at work was like mentioning it at the time when I told him about this game, and he's like, "Oh yeah, it's based on this." And I'm like, "Oh, I didn't even know this was a thing before this."
Yeah, so I believe the Netflix series is called Age of Resistance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's so a prequel, I wondered how much movie it tied in.
The Netflix series is a prequel to the movie.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. So yeah, the Television series on Netflix is a prequel to the 1982 Dark Crystal movie. And yeah, it goes further into the world of Thra. And so most of the characters in the game are characters right from the Netflix series. And so I would suggest at least having a little bit of experience with the Netflix series. You don't need to. I played through the whole game and I still haven't seen the Netflix series. I kind of plan on watching it before I write the review or while I write the review, just to make sure that I'm lining up facts correctly. But yeah, it's one of those games where it has all of these neat ideas, but like really bad. It's got cool ideas, but bad execution. So it's cool. So it you can tell that like whoever made this game really loves Final Fantasy Tactics, because it feels very much like a tactics game. And so they've kind of taken that tactics style format and pacing, and what they've done is they made all of the characters' abilities synergize with each other. So there's this status effect that you can put on enemies and enemies can put on you called Marked. And there's a whole bunch of abilities that only work on characters that are marked. And some of them consume the mark and some of them don't consume the mark. Characters that are marked have their evasion lowered. So it's really good for like fighting bosses and stuff. And then there are, so that's like negative status effect synergizing. But there's also positive status effect synergizing. So eventually you unlock a class, and there's only two characters that can do it because it's only podlings. But there's a musician class that you can get. And if the musician has two or more beneficial buffs on them, they can basically rock out. And they do this whole thing where they like jump up and down and like slam on their loot. And they damage all of the enemies on the field, regardless of where they are or what effects that they have on them. And it heals all your party. But that you can only do that when you're buffed up. So these are like really cool ideas. Here's sort of the other half of the coin. If you play through the game on normal or story, and I don't know what either of those are because they're not described in the game itself. If you go into the difficulty menu, it says story, normal, hard, no descriptions. Only if you unlock the New Game Plus menu and you choose to alter the difficulties is there a description as to what each of the difficulties are, which is kind of like too little too late.
Why?
And so the problem is the AI on normal and story is really stupid. So there was one map that I was playing, and it was like the second or third map in the game, where there were two factions and me all on a map. And the two factions descended upon me, killed my healer, and then proceeded to beat the crap out of each other, ignoring the rest of my characters. And like literally they would walk by one of my characters and beat up one of the other enemy AI characters.
Yo, how
once
you doing?
My healer was dead. And so it was like, it's this weird AI just stupidity. And it drives me crazy because there are enemies that are like mind suckers and take over your brain. And on story, they actually don't even use that ability. All they do is attack you. And on both story and normal, healers don't heal. So you have all of these units that are intended to be healers that are running around, like, whacking you with their canes for one damage.
What?
Now, if you go up to hard, all of the enemies use their abilities properly, and it is extremely challenging. I did not enjoy playing on hard. I sampled a few levels on hard just to see, like, what the difference in the AI was. And like, yeah, when you're playing on hard, the AI has it together and everything works the way that it should. But even if you play on normal, no, they're just dumb.
So they just did not get the balance right on this.
No, not at all. And it's so frustrating. And even worse is for some reason they feel the need to artificially starve you of resources. So every time you finish a fight, you get orbs. And the problem is just doing the story maps never gets you enough orbs. You have to stop doing the story and go into the optional side encounters. And the optional side encounters give 2 to 3 times the amount of orbs that a normal story encounter does. But, like, you will get through 90% of the game and not have anywhere close to the best equipment on people. Not even, like, the best available equipment at the time. I think all of my characters were somewhere between level 10 and level 15 before they even had 3 pieces of equipment on. So everybody can have a weapon, an armor, and a trinket. And yeah, I was at least level 10 on all my characters before I had all of those 3 spots filled for just the 4 characters that I use on my side. Also, they have this weird thing where they give you 13 story characters in total, which is probably like the 13 characters that are the main characters in the anime or the TV show. But you only ever use a maximum of 5. Usually 4 in any given battle.
Really small maps.
So the maps are really tiny, which limits the sort of tactics you can do for them. And it also kind of limits like your options where it's like I have 2 podlings, which are like this little race that are like little beans. They're very cute. And then I have these floofy things, and I can't remember what the name of them are. They literally look like tribbles with a tail. They're very cute. And then there are other maps that you go into them and it's like, all right, here is 2 NPCs that you were required to take in this map. Therefore, you can only take 2 of your characters.
So oh,
it's
like, no. Come on.
And so you sort of get these situations where it's like, I want to use more of these people in my party, but I never get an opportunity to do so. So like my final set of 13 people, I had a 45, a 43, a 41, a 41, a 35, and then everybody else was under level 20, including a level 3.
So they don't even let you carry over the experience to everyone.
Yeah, there's no shared experience at all.
Oh, well, that's a poor design.
And even worse
choice.
Is like, I can't seem to really figure out what it is that gives characters experience, because it's like there was one map where it's like, oh, I have a character that's slightly lower level. I'm going to have him do all of the killing blows and hopefully that will catch him up. And he ended up getting all of my characters got 70 experience, except for him. He got 90 experience. And I'm like, what is the division of experience? And someone else that was in the map they did nothing and they got 120 experience. So it was like, what is driving the experience gains in this game?
It just doesn't tell you anything on top of this.
Yeah,
so,
they needed to like peel back a little bit of like what made these things tick. The one thing that I can tell is if you are way below the average of your party or the average of the enemy characters, again, can't tell which, you gain a lot of experience. Hmm. But if you die, you gain half of the experience you would have.
So yeah, using that character and then getting them killed ends up, yeah, perfect.
But the combat's fine.
Is it safe to say there's no like recruiting of anything additional but the storyline characters?
Just the storyline characters, and you get them at very strict, specific times.
Yeah, so no permadeath then.
Well, funny you should mention that. So the game has like the first 8 or 10 levels are sort of like a tutorial that teaches you how the combat system works and how the game is structured. And I'm sure this is based off of the actual story in the new series. But here's what happens. You open up a level, it teaches you how to do something, and then they kill off the character that taught you how to do it. So then you can't do it anymore until you learn it on one of your characters.
How many times do they do that to you?
Well, the first 8 levels, you jump around 5 times, and someone dies in every single one of those levels. So it's like, I'm going to teach you how to fly, and then we're going to kill the character that flies. All right. I'm going to teach you how to push around enemies with the shove ability, and then I'm going to kill the character, that the only character you have that knows how to shove. And so it's like, there's just like these glimpses of like, this was well thought out. And then you're like, nope, didn't actually think this all the way through.
That's a shame.
And I mean, it isn't that I think it's a bad game. Like I said, I just don't think it's a good game. And so it's going to be really hard to write the review, because it's like, this game is dead average. I'm sure there's going to be people that like it. I enjoyed it because I really like TRPGs. And I could see where the potential is. But, oh yeah, and there's like three
Enjoy
music tracks.
Enjoy It is not what I've been getting from you this week. What are you talking about? This is the first I've heard a positive word applied to this game by you.
I didn't hate it.
Don't give this like over a 2.5, Anna. What are you talking about?
Well, 2.5 would be below average. 3 would be average. But yeah, we'll see. Your experience has been below average. I'm going to write the review, and I'm going to have Josh look at it, and he will tell me whether it's a 2.5 out of 5 or a 3.
It's all on you now, Josh.
It's all on me.
Alrighty. All right. Is that what everybody's been playing this week? You've been playing Final Fantasy IV for Enterprise. Hey, we should talk about Final Fantasy IV for Enterprise.
I'm in a tournament.
We're both tournament. I lost too.
But I lost worse.
Yeah, I lost by less than 5 minutes, which was so frustrating. Like, I was literally entering into the fight with Zeramis, and the other guy finished. I was like, no! So, that was fun.
I was literally not even underground yet, and the other guy finished. It was like,
yeah.
Oh,
so Chris actually got paired against someone who is frighteningly good, and they killed Zeramis with a level 5 Edward.
No, they had a Fu as well.
Well, yes, but that whole strategy revolves around a level 5 Edward using walls.
Yeah.
And bouncing
rhythm game at that point.
And bouncing the nukes that Zeramis casts in response to magic
back
onto
at
him.
Yep. That was a good strategy.
It is a terrifyingly precise strategy that there is exactly 3 people that can do it well. And apparently Dia is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So she's probably going to win the whole tournament.
Oh, probably.
So Chris got an unfortunate luck of the draw. I got someone who I was fairly close to in terms of strategy. And then we made 2 different decisions as to which key item we were going to chase. And he made the right one and I made the wrong one.
How dare you, Anna?
Yep. So it's always the right decision until it isn't.
So for me, it's always the wrong decision.
Well, you also forget to cast Sylph against the CPU.
Listen, this is a true statement.
You literally let characters die while you were parrying with her.
And then I started casting it.
Yeah. Oh, and we played Coffee Talk last weekend together.
We did. That was fun.
Yeah. So, Josh, I think you'd like this because you liked Valhalla, right?
Oh, yeah. It really did.
Yeah. So this is like Valhalla, but shallower and with coffee.
It's more like we watched Coffee Talk than played Coffee Talk.
Yeah, that's how a visual novel works.
Yeah.
So it... So for those who are unfamiliar, it's a visual novel with a small amount of player interaction. And in this case, you are brewing cups of warm beverages. And so you can do coffee or tea or green tea or chocolate drinks or milk drinks. And if you serve the correct drink to the person, that's good. And you finish their storyline and you get the good endings. And if you don't serve them the right drinks, you get crappier endings.
More or less, but it's really hard to mess up. And then there's an Easter egg or two if you did.
Yeah, and this is the thing that I love is like at the end of the game, they throw a plot twist turn at you, and you have to play the game again. And
not
it's
really,
so
you can
cool.
jump around. So.
Right. So I mean, if you mess
They've
up
got
a
new
day,
game plus so
yeah, if you mess up a day or once you finish the first,
well, you
could
do this at
any
time, even in yeah. the first playthrough.
I know.
You
can just redo if you mess if you up want. A day mm-hmm. or after you've done the first full playthrough, at any time you can jump to a calendar day and redo that calendar day.
Yeah,
that's really nice. Good.
Yeah.
So I was kind of a little meh about the plot. Until the end, I thought the plot twist was really interesting. I still think that there are some things that they sort of hit upon that they sort of address a little too shallowly. So the idea is this is a Seattle in a world where all of these supernatural creatures are just sort of part of the world.
Think Shadowrun.
So it's like you're the owner of a coffee shop that only opens up at night, and your first two customer or your first three customers are a human, a high elf, and a succubus. And then an orc stops by, and a vampire, and a werewolf, and an Atlantean who literally squishes when she comes in and sits down.
That's great. It took me forever to realize she's squishing when she walks.
Yeah,
she?
She's got like an octopus bottom half. And you can tell because she's got like her little tentacles that come up her arms and stuff. It's very adorable. But there is good attention to detail in this game. Mm.
Very realistic portrayal of supernatural species, I think. 10 out of 10.
But yeah, like they sort of like hit upon like racism and prejudice and like the stresses of an everyday life and what it's like to be immortal versus not immortal. But they all touch on these things super shallowly.
I don't know. I had fun watching it, and it wasn't too long. It didn't overstay its welcome.
Yes.
So, the coffee, oh, man, I like the coffee making. I like the promise of the coffee making. But ultimately, some of the things just feel a bit random. And, like, you're supposed to just replay days until you figure it out rather than being able to puzzle it out the first time through when you're trying to make a drink for someone based on too little information that they give you. And so that frustrates me. But then you realize the coffee making isn't really that big a part of the game anyway, and it's just like something you, once you figure it out, it doesn't matter anymore. And yeah, it's whatever. We had fun.
It's inexpensive. It's available on Steam and Switch and PS4. It's honestly worth picking up.
Yep. But we probably shouldn't say more about it. I think we'll exceed the length of the game.
Yeah. Well, and we'll get into spoiler territory.
Oh,
spoilers.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's everything.
We want to save our spoilers for Mass Effect.
Well, that one's been out long enough. It's also been so long that I don't necessarily even remember the spoilers anymore.
Mm. Well, doesn't it branch so much anyway that
not enough. That's one of the complaints, Kelly.
You'll get there.
You'd wish it would, but no. All right. Time for feedback, Anna?
I think so.
All right. I think the question was, what gaming-related experience do you miss that all kids today wouldn't understand? Shaman said, I miss holding out hope that the portable system would make it to the next time we stopped for gas on a road trip so I could pick up a pack of replacement AA batteries. Kids today either suck it up or in some cases just plug in a portable USB power bank. Well, you could have sucked it up back then, but all right, fair enough.
Those power banks are a godsend.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, sometimes I miss being able to just swap out batteries instead of, you know, waiting for a charger.
I think you're all missing the big change that's around. Like nowadays in your minivans and stuff, there's a whole dedicated cigarette lighter for the back seat to plug into.
Our new car doesn't even have a lighter. It has USB ports.
Oh, straight up USB ports, right. Because yeah. Cigarettes are out of style now. So, yeah. Bonus.
Actually, I take that back. I think there's a lighter port in the back seat, but it's not even a lighter.
They call it a car power adapter, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But us old folks know what it is.
They should just put frickin' inverters in there and like have standard plugs. I don't know why they stick with the, you know, whatever. All right. Victor says, I could claim that I miss drawing RPG maps on graph paper, but the unplayed Etrian Odyssey and Persona Q games in my backlog reveal that sentiment for the lie that it is. Auto-mapping is just too convenient. You know, you can auto-map in those games, Victor. Don't feel bad. You can turn on auto-map and play those.
Mm-hmm.
I miss real-life walk-in video game arcades the most. In the USA, they tend to be few and far between. They always were. And at last I heard, their business model had become either be part of a family restaurant or pay an upfront free to go inside and play the machines, which are all set to free play. It is probably for the best. Online play and streaming services make multiplayer gaming or game spectating easier, cheaper, and more widespread than ever before. But sometimes I miss things like visiting the local arcade on the day the Tekken 2 fighting game character Angel was time-released, just to be one of the first to see or play as Angel. I agree, Victor, and I think What the thing we missed out is on heavily networked arcade games here. If we had been able to pull that off and make more of a social scene around it, I think that's what we were missing.
Yeah, arcades kind of died here before those things really got going, didn't they?
I want networked Gundam pods like they have in Japan. All right. Kids today will never truly understand the joys and values of gaming magazines. Oh, I don't know that I agree with this sentence, but all right, let's keep going. Back in the day, they represented the only way to get hyped over upcoming releases or really know what was worth spending a fair higher proportion of your income/birthday money on. Also back in the day, if/when you got stuck in a game and didn't know anyone else who had beaten it, you had to hope some tips would turn up in the next gaming magazine, which would be another month away.
Hmm. Or, you know, waste your parents' money calling a hotline, which I had to do several times. Ooh.
I wasn't allowed to do that.
Yeah, 900 so numbers were
to
not
call those
permitted.
Numbers from Canada.
I asked very politely, like, I am very stuck.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciated the magazines back in the day, but as soon as internet happened, I think this is better. And it's okay.
Yep. I don't miss magazines because I would get irritated that reviews for stuff I was interested in would show up like months later.
I know what I miss. I miss the fact that everybody who could write about games didn't back then because they didn't have a platform. They weren't hired by a magazine. Now everybody can write about games, and that means really bad opinions are out there.
That means we get plagiarized on a regular basis.
Well, there's that too.
It's also that no one gets paid for it anymore, yeah. But you know.
And I don't know who to listen to.
And you get people that, you know, judge you for playing Sekiro with cheat codes.
Yeah. How dare you?
You learned nothing.
You cheated yourself and the game.
All right, Hairfrog says, yes, gaming magazines. Getting a copy with some flashy art on the front, reading through every page just to know what is going on. The internet was still a wasteland. Some would argue it still is. And access to it was guarded by your parents. They would punish you if they start hearing the death screams of robots when you start up your dial-up connection. So the magazines was all there was to know what was coming up. I fondly remember the E3 issues of certain game mags. Those were like magic. That they were.
Hairfrog is actually one of our staffers. He won Employee of the Month for January.
Congratulations. E3 used to be magic.
I will say, one thing I did used to like about reading magazines was reading strategy guides for games that I didn't have yet.
Yep.
It was basically like reading a Let's Play.
All those Nintendo Power ones.
I worked at EB Games in that odd space where the internet existed, but it was not widespread. And so we had this weird thing where because strategy guide sales were dying, we had instructions from home office to not let people read the strategy guides in the store. Because people would come in with a piece of paper, write down crap, and then leave the strategy guide in the store.
We are not a library.
Oh, yeah.
Dealing with those interactions always sucked. Because
I did that a lot when I was a kid.
Because it was either a little kid and you made them cry, or it was an adult and they swore you.
I never wrote down stuff, but I did go in and would thumb through and read through parts of magazines.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I didn't care. Honestly, I thought that was a stupid thing from head office. And it's like, if you came in and read a strategy guide for 5 minutes and then left, whatever. If you were writing down stuff, it's like, yeah, I actually do have to stop you from doing this. And I don't really want to, but it's corporate policy.
Daniel in the chat says he did this in the supermarket and they totally kicked him out.
I think I still have the envelope that I wrote down the Sonic 2 cheat codes from an software, etc. And yeah, the clerks yelled at me and my mom. Because my mom gave me the envelope to write it down.
All right, Kelly, do you still remember the cheat code?
It's Yuji Naka's birthday is one of them.
Okay. But you don't remember what it is, though.
Oh, hell no.
Well,
hell
do you remember the stage select code for Sonic 1?
Well, yeah, I think it was up, down, left, right, BA start.
I think so.
That one was very basic.
And then that's how I got into the sound test. And then I'm, Kelly... I hooked the sound test. I hooked the output from the Genesis into a tape recorder, and I made my own soundtrack for Sonic.
Oh, I did
1.
That too.
You nerd.
Only code I remember is the one for Mega Man X to get you all the stuff and put you at like endgame. You know, outside of like the basic, you know, Konami code and things like that. But I always was like, I must have like some level of autism because I just can't ever forget this stupid code.
They're in your head. It's like the Konami code. Always there. But that's because everyone always uses it.
And then a little note to end the feedback. We are caught up on emails, and I'm sorry to the two people who emailed us and didn't actually get read on the show. You landed in spam, and we're sorry. So I will be... I didn't want to use the emails only because they are very, very out of date. But email will be checked weekly again now that I am not incredibly ill. So.
Yeah, I think you had a valid excuse.
So, yeah, now that I'm back, email will be checked again.
True that.
Thank you, everybody who emails us and writes in feedback. We do truly appreciate it. And I'm sorry that we lost a couple of emails. So,
I think it's time, Anna, for...
Feedback. Oh, wait, no.
News. What's our first story, Anna?
I didn't open the news. I'm not hosting.
Well, figure out our second story. Our first story is Strategy Together RPG. What is this? It's Together in Battle.
Together in Battle, yeah.
See, this is why we need you, Anna. Sinister Design has announced Strategy RPG Together in Battle. It's set in the same universe as their previous title, Telepath Tactics, which I didn't play, so I don't know. It's planned for release in 2021, and it's a tactical RPG. All right, cool. Corruption 2029 was announced, and it's coming out next week. What?
It's another tactical RPG.
It's from the Mutant Year Zero people, so yeah. I anticipate it will be really hard. It's also only $20, so I don't know what's going on with this, but all right.
So I think they're moving to the smaller, more nimble game development, mm-hmm. where they put out more games that are smaller in scope.
All right. Looks like the same engine as Mutant Year Zero to me.
Well, that's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
All right. And then...
the complete opposite of that.
BioWare.
They've announced again that they're redesigning Anthem.
Wait, again?
Oh. Yeah. This was already announced, so I don't know what's going on.
So yeah, like, isn't this like 10 or 11 months too late? Like, they knew this was a train wreck. It was long... Yeah, they talked about, like, retweaking it, like, even last year.
After Final Fantasy XIV, I feel like there is always a hope that a game can be saved.
Yeah, this isn't...
Look, I'm an optimist!
I mean, yes, but also this isn't an MMO, so it's harder to figure out how that's going to work.
It plays like an MMO.
It does, but there's no revenue stream coming in. There's
no RMT.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, there are those things, but you know, there's not much of a player base anymore.
Yeah,
see,
but I mean,
14 had a subscription.
No,
right?
Because remember when they were in the redesign phase,
they
shut off
the subscription with the intention of it coming back.
Yeah, but even when it came back, there wasn't a subscription to start.
Right, but here's my question for you, Anna. Upon it coming back, people resubscribed to 14, thus they got money. What's going to happen here with Anthem? Upon redesign, people will come back, and then what? They
spend
don't
money
get
on the RMT?
On what? There's no RMT.
I thought Josh just said there is.
There's like, what, a handful of cosmetic items or something?
Yeah, something like that. It's cosmetic stuff.
Okay, that's still RMT. I mean, that's kind of how Warframe works. And how Path of Exile works?
I mean, that's how a lot of them work, but this one's just, you know, like, I don't know. It feels like the player base is passed on. And I mean, this is a crowded segment. I mean, you've got Destiny, you got Borderlands, we've got The Division, which has a story coming up later. There's a lot of games in this segment, and it feels like Anthem's time is already come and gone.
So here's my question.
I don't know, maybe their idea is to like push for like a relaunch on the new consoles. Maybe you think that's the idea, like, hey, we spend this year, we try and really revamp it and kind of re-release the thing on PS5 and Xbox, the Series X.
Right. All right. Well, we'll know more about this.
Here's what we got from Casey Hudson. Over the last year, the team has worked hard to improve stability, performance, and general quality of life while delivering 3 seasons of new content and features. We have also heard your feedback that Anthem needs a more satisfying loot experience, better long-term progression, and a more fulfilling endgame. That's like the whole game, right? So we recognize that there's still more fundamental work to be done to bring out the full potential of the experience, and it will require a more substantial reinvention than an update or an expansion. Over the coming months, we will be focusing on a longer-term redesign of the experience, specifically working to reinvent the core gameplay loop with clear goals, motivating challenges, and progression with meaningful rewards, while preserving the fun of flying and fighting in a vast science fantasy setting. That's the only thing that got right, was the flying. And to do properly, we'll be doing something we'd like to have done more of the first time around, giving a focused team the time to test and iterate, focusing on gameplay first.
I mean, this sounds very nostalgic to Final Fantasy XIV. Like, sorry we butchered this, but we'll do better next time.
You're just, why even keep Anthem as the name of this game at this point? Make a new game, do all this in it, put it out, and don't have any Anthem baggage.
Well, you get into, like, the business side of it.
What are you saving by keeping the Anthem part around? I mean, come on.
I don't know. The thing I was thinking about, like, what is the last good BioWare game? The last one that was just unquestionably good. Do we have to go all the way back to, like, Mass Effect 2? Was Dragon Age Inquisition?
People like Inquisition. Inquisition, there's people really like Inquisition, so.
Yeah.
I would say that's the last good one.
I mean, that's still the beginning of the console cycle. That was the very beginning of the PS4.
We have the wonderful Mass Effect Andromeda.
Yeah, that fell kind of on its face. And then this Anthem mess.
Anthem. All right. Should I buy Anthem now to get it, like, for cheap so that I'm, like, ready for the reboot?
Get it on PC.
How long is this reboot going to take, by the way? They're like, in 2021, they're expecting? Like, really?
Is anyone going to care?
No, they don't have a timeline. Oh, they have no timeline. This could be years.
I don't know why they don't just cut them.
Make a new game.
This is throwing good money after bad, man. Just move on.
So they say this now to keep you playing, and then in 2 years they're going to be like, all right, we decided the right way to do it is put out Anthem 2. And that answers the money question about where they'll get money from.
I guess.
Sheesh. Oh, goodbye.
But hey, there's more RPG shooters coming out to compete with Anthem.
Oh, right. This weird thing. Outriders. Did you watch this, Anna? No?
No. This doesn't look like my kind of game at all.
What is this? It's a co-op shooter RPG?
Yeah. My tagline was, it's Anthem, but ugly.
It's made by People Can Fly. Who's that?
They did a bunch of the Gears of War games.
Okay.
So they at least should know, like, how to make a shooter.
Is this cover-based, then? Or
I don't know. I didn't watch enough of the thing. It looked like it. Looked like it had cover in it.
So all that's out is a trailer. I don't even know when this was
announced.
Oh,
there's another story with a bunch more of the gameplay footage.
Okay. That's all right, looks like little Mass Effect cars. Actually, yeah. I'm getting a lot of Mass Effect vibe from the designs of this game.
But darker.
Darker?
It's gonna be so dark.
It's so dark. You don't understand how dark it is. It's really metal and dark and metal. Dark metal.
Dark.
It's dark, dark death metal. Death dark metal. I'm saying dark metal and death metal, and Kelly's not being summoned. I don't know what's happening.
Not all metal is dark. Oh, okay. There's happy metal.
Okay.
I listen to
baby metal.
We'll dad that too.
Yeah. Okay, where do I? Oh, there it is. The next story is people debuts Outriders game footage, 6 minutes of it, at some stage somewhere. Where was this? I think Anna's currently typing them an email or something.
Sorry.
Oh, look, character creator. Yep. So, all right. So people are shooting. Oh, he shot that man in two. Wow. Oh, my gosh. He really did blow that man in two. Okay. That's a thing. It's not just a wrestling meme. Okay. All right. So Outriders, you shoot things. Is this Monster Hunter?
No, I think it's more Borderlands-ish.
What was Lost Planet then? No, Borderlands, you're saying. Okay.
Anthem-ish.
Listen,
there's supposed to be a
presentation.
You don't
want it to be Anthem-ish.
There's supposed to be a presentation at E3, and that's when we'll get more information.
Oh, so Square Enix is the only one going to E3?
One of the few.
Okay, good to know. Operencia, The Stolen Sun. I played a little bit of this. I liked what I played. I thought it was simple, but enjoyable. I never finished it. It's getting an expansion. The title will launch on March 31st. PS4, Switch, Steam, GOG is... Oh, I'm sorry. So, two things here. So, it's not an expansion. I'm completely wrong. The word expands was in the headline, and I'm a bad reader. I apologize. Operencia, The Stolen Sun, previously out just on Xbox One and PC, and through the Epic Game Store, and it was also on Game Pass. Now we'll be joining the PS4, Switch, Steam, and GOG on March 31st, and you'll be able to play it there. So I'll just say that and let it be. So this is a first-person dungeon crawler. Anna, I think you'd like it.
Yeah,
you like first-person dungeon crawlers.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it.
You can play it right now. We have it for like free.
Yeah, but
then you could pay money for it if you wait for it on Switch.
I want to play it on the Switch. Yeah.
You could play it on the television. I know. It's revolutionary technology.
Crazy.
Sit on the couch, eat Cheetos, and play a dungeon crawler. Ew, Cheetos.
Where are the Cheetos?
Where's the Mountain Dew?
Next to the Cheetos.
Mom, the meatloaf.
But you're not there.
UEDI Shadow of the Citadel has been announced. It's an open world adventure RPG being developed for PC. It's from developer Onion Soup Interactive.
It's pronounced Weddy, Chris.
What? Oh, Weddy. Okay. So they're going Japanese pronunciation or something. All right. What is this? Weddy. Oh, Weddy. Like W. Weddy. All right. Weddy is a hot-headed reporter, infiltrates a world placed on lockdown by its dictator, Hazuki, looking to find out more about Hazuki's plan while searching for a friend. And then what, do you beat people up? What's going on? What is this game?
It looks like a Metroidvania.
Is it? It looks like very cinematic. Press a button in time with the action so far. I don't really... What is this game? Okay, you change costumes in like magical girl style. So there is that.
Yeah,
you get
new nano suit modes.
I don't know what's happening in this game. And the animation's really weird looking. And I'm very confused. So we'll see more... What? Next year. Yeah, this is 2020. All right. There you go. Stay tuned. Hey, who plays Division 2 here?
No.
Nobody.
Here's something
Jonathan is at a tournament this weekend.
Actually so. Getting an expansion for the Division 2?
No, for a card game that he likes.
No. Well, the Division 2 is getting an expansion called
Warlords of New York.
Is that like the movie with Leonardo DiCaprio? Like Gangs of New York or whatever?
Huh?
It's a movie.
Okay.
It had good costumes. All right. Underwater Ray Romano, Prelude to the Fallen is coming out in May.
On PS4 and Vita.
Okay.
With cross-save.
Vita?
Yes.
Yeah.
Vita still?
Yeah.
That can't be.
Vita means life, Chris.
It's digital only since Vita, North American The physical
releases have quit. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, you can't do them anymore. And Asia won't give anybody in North America carts.
All right, so PS4, Vita, North America, May 26th. Europe on May 29th. Cross saves available. It's a remake of the first Udo Rubber Romano game.
Yeah.
Which was released in Japan as an adult title in 2002, before versions without the adult content were released for PlayStation 2 and PlayStation Portable in 2006 and 2009, respectively, also only in Japan. A sequel duology, Mask of Deception and Mask of Truth, is the ones we've been talking about in this show for a couple of years now. All right, what's up, Josh?
And I imagine that the combat in it should be good, because Sting also worked on the combat for this game, as well as they did for the other duology that already released.
Did they work on the adult version of the game?
No,
they did not.
I'm really curious. Is that, like, do you think that's just a visual novel?
Yeah, I mean, that's how the game started, is a hentai game.
Oh.
That's how the series started, is a hentai game.
Yeah. Okay.
And then years later, it got really popular. So they stripped the adult content out because it wouldn't be allowed on a console, mm-hmm. and then put it out on PS2.
And they worked with Sting to add
added a battle system.
Yes. Like,
yeah.
So let me ask you a question. You have a hentai game. You take out the sex. You add a different combat system into the game versus not having one to begin with, most likely.
Yeah, there wasn't one.
How do you know that that's going to actually be successful? Because you've taken out the reason why people play hentai games.
You gamble.
I'm like, what is left of the game? But you think people were just liking it because of the character models, or maybe the story?
Yeah, people liked the characters.
Okay. Right. They do this in Japan.
Okay. I'm just saying, like, you take out the sex stuff in the sex game, what's left? It's like Anthem. Like, why even do this? Just make a new game. But what do I know, apparently? Nothing. That's why I don't make games. All right. Are you going to play this, Anna? Are you going to play the Utobarimamamama games in order?
I haven't played any of them.
Yeah, you could wait for this one, then play all three in order on your Vita.
There's four.
We only have three?
Yeah, I think there's only three on the Vita.
Play all three in order on the Vita, which means life.
Hey, Josh, you must be very excited to hear that Project Sakura Wars has a release date.
I am. And
I would be too if it was actually based on a tactical RPG instead of whatever this thing is.
Yeah. I wish it was a tactical RPG too.
So here's what confuses me. There's no English sub. There's no English dub in this.
No, you can tell Sega is taking a kind of like low risk, low investment tack with this release.
Hey, but that means the Japanese voicing, which is going to be better anyway, will have accurate subtitles.
Yay. So I don't know. Hey, I don't know why you think Japanese.
I like the voice actors that Japan has better, because they tend to have a more developed industry, more access to them, and more budget for them than American localizations do.
Okay, actually a good argument.
Sorry.
I mean, remember,
I've had some time to think about
this. The normal argument is, I'm a weeb.
No. Also, the practice of doing voicing in the same room that Japan does, that the U.S. also tends not to, so... I do have real reasons for my preferences.
Hey, and that's cool. That's legit. I don't mind when people have real reasons. It drives me crazy when people like, that's the pure experience. And I'm like, what does that even mean?
Nah, you can't go with that, because sometimes the dubs are better, you know?
Yeah. You know, on a side tangent, I love that normies got introduced to the sub versus dub argument because of Parasite winning the best picture. So the best picture for the Academy Awards
this year was
a Korean movie.
I didn't pay attention to best. Okay, yeah.
And like, people got into a huge debate on Twitter about subs versus dubs, and it was just funny seeing all that stuff happening when anime fans have seen that argument for 20 freaking years now.
Initialize.
Man, this is terrifying, the movie posters for this thing.
It's a scary movie.
Is it?
Right. So the Sakura Wars is going
to
get subtitled in English, German, French, and Spanish. And I saw a really interesting thing from someone at Sega mentioning that basically this is their testing ground, like they did with Yakuza 0.
Testing ground of what?
Whether the series will be successful Sakura? In North America and Europe. Yeah.
Well, let's keep in mind, before you get too caught up on that, how many times did they test Yakuza?
No, I mean, this is very similar to Yakuza, where they've had a long cooldown between the previous games coming out and the next one coming out.
Well, this one's a bit longer. We're talking like a decade and a half between from the last one. This
well,
series.
When did... What was the last Yakuza before 04?
Yeah.
Or that terrible zombie one?
Five came out.
So what you're saying is...
Five came out before 0.
It was like...
Everyone who bought Yakuza... Everyone who bought Yakuza, buy this game, and then maybe they'll do remakes of the original Sakura War games.
I hope so.
I'm waiting to hear how good it is before...
No, you have to buy it without question, even if it's bad. We have to send them a message.
For those concerned, I haven't played Sakura Wars before. This is set like over a decade after So Long, My Love, and
it's very much set up to be a place where anyone can jump in.
Yeah, it's way after like the original anime as well.
Yeah,
it's like 25 years after the anime.
How did Sakura Wars start? Was it an anime, manga, game?
It was a game.
It was a game, and then that became an anime and manga, and then the anime and manga became games.
That game is very inexpensive at retro game conventions. It's like you can find the Dreamcast and or PlayStation release of Sakura War, Sakura Tyson.
Because
you can't do anything with it. It's all in Japanese.
Right.
It was a huge game in Japan.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's all, what's the hardest one? Kanji? It's all kanji, so you have to play it with a spreadsheet. And you have to make very fast decisions because
the localization guides, it's terrible. You're like reading through a guide, like, you have to pick this, this, or this, and they have like long sentences. And by the time you finish reading the choices that were just came on the screen, it's like you've ran out of time to make your choice. It's like you need somebody reading it with you and then explaining to you when the game pauses for a second what just happened in the past five choices you made.
a fan group just got done doing a fan translation of the first game's PC port. So there's like a way to play that.
Oh my gosh, that's a big deal. Okay.
Yeah, I think it took them 6 or 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
Translation's so easy. I don't know why everybody doesn't do it.
Why doesn't everyone do it? How do I find this?
If you're looking to play actually go back and play the Japanese ones, at least the first two games are on PSP, and that's a lot easier to play that, like going back and forth,
you
looking
said
at a guy.
This looks like Sega Saturn.
You know, you could.
Sega Saturn, right?
It was originally. They did a PSP port of it in Japan.
No, the patch is for Sega Saturn, it looks like.
Oh, is it for Saturn? I thought it was on PC.
The translation patch is the combined efforts of CJ Iwakura's team, who was originally working on a PC version, and Noah Steam's team, who were working on the Saturn version. When the PC version had to be scrapped, the merging of translation efforts bore fruit with the completed Saturn version. And they made a commercial for the fan chance. Oh my gosh.
They made a commercial for the fan translation. That's adorable.
It's just... Okay, it's like a little trailer for Sakura Wars, and then I dream. Okay, so now you just need a guide that uses this English translations and tells you how to get with all the girls. Because that's the important thing, right?
Yes.
All right.
No freaky alien to get with?
No freaky alien.
Did one of the other games have an alien?
No, I was making reference to my weird preference for aliens and Mass Effect.
Hey, Langrisser 1 and 2 are getting a demo this week.
How's that work?
This is
so
weird.
You can download the demo starting February 20th, and you can get it on either the Switch eShop or the PSN. You will be able to choose between both classic and remastered art. You get 3 chapters from Langrisser 1 and 3 chapters from Langrisser 2.
Can you explain the second part of this? Did you read that where it's chapters 4 through 6 of Langrisser 2?
I have no idea.
Why?
No clue.
Is that not strange?
It is strange.
Okay. I'm just checking.
I even like asked Trevor, I'm like, is that right? And he's like, yeah, that's right. I'm like, okay.
Okay. And you don't get to carry over your progress. It's just
you don't carry over your progress, but you do get sort of a goodie pack of 5,000 gold and 2 CP that you get to carry over to the full game. And honestly, it doesn't even sound like you need to play the demo much. You just need to have a demo file.
Oh, cool.
So For those unfamiliar, what the heck is Langrisser? If you played Warsong back in the day, that's Langrisser.
I want to check this out because I've always been curious about Langrisser.
Well, you don't have long to wait because the game's coming out on Switch, PS4, and PC in North America on March 10th and in Europe on March 13th.
I want to at least check out the demo. I might not pick up the game right off the bat because next couple months are going to be dense.
I think it's going to be my daytime game. We're starting to get into a weird period where Chris and I are going to be playing Persona 5 Royal all night every night. So it's like I'm probably going to end up juggling two games for a few weeks.
Persona 5 all night, Final Fantasy 7 all day.
I don't plan on playing Final Fantasy 7 at release.
You don't what?
I don't really plan on playing Final Fantasy VII Remake at release. It's one of those games that it is going to drop in price like a meteor. Why
wow,
would I get
Anna.
It?
Wow, Anna. Good job. Just well done.
Thanks.
Are you saying we need some holy price protection?
But it's true. I mean, that game is not going to stay at $60.
I'm getting that on release. Sorry.
But you're not going to play it.
I'm playing it on release.
No, you're not.
I am.
I have to.
No, we have to finish Persona 5 Royal.
Let Kelly talk.
No, we're having this argument.
No.
I have to at least have the middle edition since you guys talked me out of the $400.
Oh, I'm sorry, Kelly.
Motorcycle
By
edition.
All means, please waste your money.
No, be reasonable.
That shit's still coming.
They didn't talk you out of it.
Ugh.
How about the Final Fantasy Switch 7 and 8 remastered twin pack for $61.72? Where did this come from?
It's available in your Asia only.
Oh, okay. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I used the money I saved on that edition to spend $75 on a Red 13 plush, so I'm good with my choices
good?
For now.
All right.
If the next game in the series has anything Red 13 related, though, I'm screwed.
Anna, you had me pre-order this thing.
Yeah, but that was before Persona 5 Royal had a release date.
You never told me to not pre-order it.
Well, you should probably cancel that pre-order.
Hell no! We pre-ordered it and we got $10 off.
Oh.
Yeah. It's $49.95.
Wow.
We got a discount. So, like, shut up. We're playing this. It's arriving April 10th by 8 p.m., it says.
The thing is by April 10th, we will be through the first dungeon of Persona 5
I'm playing
Royal.
This game on release, and you're going to have to fight me. We're going to have to alternate nights.
Oh.
It'll make us enjoy Persona 5 even more.
No, it won't. How about...
Wow, can you whine anymore?
How about... No, I have a good custody agreement.
Okay.
Weekdays will be Persona 5 Royal, and weekends will be Final Fantasy VII Remaster.
Oh, good. Because you know how much time I have on weekends. All right.
Where's you could always just resolution? Buy another PS4 for
her. No!
I don't think that's the answer, because we both want to play both games. Okay. I want to play both games. Let me rephrase that. And she wants to play one game.
I want to play the remaster. I had fun with it at PAX, but I want to play Royal way more than I want to play.
By the way, this is if you aren't married, this is where the revisionist history of being married to someone comes into play, where Anna tells you like, "Well, I didn't do this," or "I told you to do this because this."
I have memory problems.
She has no memory of what happened, and she recounts to you what happened. Gets mad at you if you counter it or don't agree with it. And then when you show her evidence, she's like, well, it was just a memory problem. Like, so, okay. So what about all the stress you caused me? Well, just deal with it. You're married to me. Like, oh my gosh.
That isn't quite how the conversation
it's
goes.
It's pretty much
but
how
it's
it goes.
Not far off the truth. This is what happens when you marry someone that's had this many concussions.
How many concussions are you up to?
It's probably best not to discuss that on the podcast. Hey!
Just to be clear, none of them were caused by me.
Pathfinder,
right?
That's true.
Right?
Pathfinder Wrath of the Righteous is getting a turn-based mode.
Oh, okay.
So here's the thing that I love about this. So someone made a mod for this game. And the team liked it so much that they're just going to make their own version and put it natively into the game.
Well, it's a witchery type thing.
That being said, they're still dedicated to real time with pause. So if that's the way that you want to.
Oh, so you're going to play?
No.
You said with
pause. Oh, no, not that kind of pause. Oh, okay. P-A-U-S-E.
All right.
So, yeah, this is being kickstarted currently.
I should play Kingmaker. I've heard good things.
And it will run until March 11th.
Oh, wait, but it's a PC RPG, and I have like 25 of those that I've heard good things about, and I should play all of them. Okay, great.
So I think they've already made their Kickstarter goal. I think you guys talked about this while I was out. But let me double check. Their Kickstarter is at 1.1 million out of a 300,000 goal. So, yes, they have made it. Hey, Spike Chunsoft announced a surprise game for the West.
I'm confused. Why are they called Owlcat Game Studios instead of Owlbear?
Because they're Owlcats. Because
if it's D&D, shouldn't it be an Owlbear?
No. Well,
meows are a thing.
Meowls?
Meowls.
Yeah, look up Meowl. You won't be disappointed.
Nope. I'm done.
Griffins?
I'm done. Yeah, griffins. Owl griffins. It's not a real griffin, Anna.
Katana Kami, A Way of the Samurai, is coming
my God.
To PC, PS4, and Switch on February 20th.
Look at the screen.
I don't have the stream up.
I can't believe he's been on the internet for this long and has never seen a meowl.
I am going to die now. Thanks for this great podcast. I've achieved ultimate happiness.
Meowls! They put the face of a cat on an owl and Photoshop it together. It's amazing. You should all go look at one now.
Katana Kami is going to be available for $30 starting on February 20th. It's an action spin-off RPG to the Way of the Samurai series set during Japan's Meiji Restoration.
Meiji.
Whatever. So this looks interesting. I want to see a little more in-game footage before I really jump into it. But, I mean, I enjoy this style of game situationally. So we'll see. I love that this guy's daughter gets taken as collateral for his debt. That's very feudal Japan. hey, the... Yeah, so, and then Corruption 2029. For some reason, I had it in the wrong order. We have editorials. We have a review for Grimshade by our lovely editor, Jooms. And you should see why he didn't really like it. And then there's a review for Tokyo Mirage Session, Sharp FE, Encore. Please read my review. I liked the game. It was fun. We have a second review for South Park, The Fractured Butthole. I think, yeah, this is also Jooms.
Yeah, it's also Jooms, yeah.
So
that also caused an uprising on our Facebook.
Our Facebook has a really rude commenter that I just need to ban.
I saw that screen cap and I was just like, ooh.
We're giving themselves enough rope to hang themselves. And then we have an impression for Rune Factory 4 Special. Platy M3 is working on that. He played the crap out of the 3DS version. He seems to be quite enjoying the Switch version. He said in the staff channel today that he rolled the first set of credits, so I assume a review is... incoming in the future, but there is actually 3 story arcs, each with their own credit roll, so I don't know which one of those he's going to wait to actually write the review at. So, briefs.
Boxers.
Game, no, we said we weren't going to do that joke anymore.
Shoot, sorry.
Game
do we
deck.
Need to do we need to re-record it and edit it?
No.
Okay.
Game deck is a game that you and I saw at PAX last year, and we
is that thing ever coming out?
Well, it wasn't scheduled to come out until the end of this year.
Okay.
So they put out a dev diary that shows Harvest Time, which is their Harvest Moon virtual game. The Pale City is heading to Steam.
Can't be a Harvest Moon game. That would be a trademark violation, Anna.
That's why it's called Harvest Time.
Oh, okay.
Remnant from the Ashes is getting a physical edition coming next month. Strategy RPG Tears of Avia is going to be published by P-Cube, I believe, in both North America.
Is this a Chemco game? This looks like a Chemco game.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Cuckoo oh, yeah. Squeaky.
What? Excuse you?
Cuckoo Squeaky.
What about it?
That's the developer.
Oh. Is this a hentai game?
No. It's a turn-based strategy RPG.
All right.
So. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's not.
I think we've learned that those are not mutually exclusive.
Under Hero released on PS4 and Xbox One as expected on February 12th and 14th. But Yes, Under Hero. Turn-based RPG with platforming elements and timing mechanics. So.
Okay.
However, the Switch version got delayed to February 27th for a day one patch.
Oh, wait. Did you read the plot hook for this?
Yes.
You play as the underling of the evil king, Mr. Stitches, who ends up replacing the hero of the story who failed in his mission to save the world. I like that setup.
Yeah, I'm interested in this.
You're the underling hero.
Yes, you're the under hero.
The next one is good news. The next story.
What?
Yggdrasil Union's still alive.
Yes!
What? They're going to re-release it again?
Yeah, so they're putting it out on the Switch in Japan. I hope this
You never played the iOS versions.
Yeah, but did they even come out?
Yeah.
In English?
Let's see what this story says.
Yeah. No announcement has been made regarding Western releases for the iOS, Android, or Nintendo Switch versions.
But you played it enough. You don't need to play it in English. You can play it in Japanese.
No.
Oh, come on. It's a sting battle system. It's not that complicated.
Yes, but this is a text-heavy game, and it's a card battler system. You kind of need to know what you're doing, because otherwise you'll eat a sword and fail a level.
Anna, it's a children's card game. How hard
it is
it
not a children's card game.
Can't they just cut and paste the PSP translation? Sorry, I had to be that guy.
Yeah, why not? Let's do that.
Because most PSP games that were translated had custom spacing involved in them.
Oh, there's actually a real reason. I was just being sarcastic.
Yeah, no, it's
there's always a reason.
It's why there's a lot of additional work that has to happen.
There's always a man, a fan translation, and a reason.
When 3DS games are slowly trickling onto the Switch, and why some companies are like, no, we just don't want to tackle that. Xseed actually did a really good blog about it.
Hey, this was supposed to be brief. Why are we still talking about this?
Because it's the part of the industry that I have knowledge about, and people appreciate.
No, it's
because
it's Yggdrasil Union, and you're biased.
And I appreciate that knowledge.
Oh, and she's taking her side again. Always.
Bless Unleashed has a release date. It is March 12th, 2020. You can buy
it's
into
a free-to-play
early access
game.
Starting at $20.
It's a free-to-play game, so get ready to pay $20, $40, or $80.
Yep. So, we had an impression of the game in an interview at E3 last year. Check it out if you're interested.
What is this? It's an MMO? Oh, it's a free-to-play MMO. They still do those?
Yep.
Yeah.
I thought people gave up on that, too.
There was so much Final Fantasy VII news with this week, but it's basically
screenshots. Hey, Kelly, did you know that Red 13 is in Final Fantasy VII?
The joke
every time
been played out.
There's a new there's a new piece of Red 13 comment. I send it to her on Twitter, and I'm sure I'm not the only one. So I'm sure she's completely aggrieved by this behavior.
Hey, okay, Kelly, I have a question.
Okay.
Why do people think Red 13 is a dog?
Because in the original game, he howled, and in one scene, he barked like a dog. But he also roars like a lion in some scenes, too. So it's been up for debate for
so
years.
Is he amalgamation?
Nobody knows what his race is.
He's just Red 13.
Okay. I've always thought he had more feline features because of the nose.
I'm looking
at
the mouth, yeah. It's like I'm trying to figure out how this translates to dog, and the face doesn't do it for me. But the ears are a little low on the head for Cat, but they're not floppy enough for I don't know what's going on. All right,
so we're moving on to other things that are cats and dogs, because the Cat Quest Possum Pack has been announced.
But the opening movie for Final Fantasy VII came out.
Yeah, I already mentioned that.
Don't we need to watch it?
It's 5 minutes. Go do it. The bundle doesn't have an official release date other than spring of 2020 for both PS4 and Nintendo Switch. If you're outside of Europe, you'll have to import it. So, Cloudpunk, which is an open world cyberpunk RPG.
I have a problem with this opening movie for Final Fantasy VII.
No, we've moved on.
No, I'm missing the fact that it's an opening movie, and yet we don't have really poorly layered on top of the opening movie 3D models while you're zooming in that then turn into gameplay in a very awkward, poorly stitched together manner, and it just feels wrong.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Yeah, CloudPunk is heading to consoles. All right, CloudPunk. So it will be PC, PS4, Xbox One.
And Kelly wishes she knew about the Cat Quest Possum Pack.
Yep. And Warhammer.
Let Kelly talk.
No, I saw the news for the Possum Pack, and I was like, darn, I wish I would have waited because I would have bought this because I have a physical copy of Cat Quest 1 and a digital copy of Cat Quest 2. But that way more people can enjoy it on their own terms.
All right.
So there.
Thank you. Anna.
Warhammer 40K Inquisitor Prophecy is available now on consoles, including PS4 and Xbox.
This is the one I played.
We're done.
It was really slow.
Yeah, this is the one that I played at E3.
This is a expansion to it. Standalone expansion.
Yeah.
But you play as an Inquisitor now. I wonder if it's any better.
All right.
What? Oh,
we...
Question of the week.
What are we going to ask people?
Will you play Sakura Wars?
How many copies of Sakura Wars will you buy? I don't think that's a good question of the week.
I know. I was trying to be funny.
Do we ask Sub versus Dubs?
Unless you went grilled like I did on my Animal Crossing Switch.
Do we want to open that can of worms?
What?
Subs versus Dubs?
No.
Have we asked that before?
Probably. Maybe? Yeah, I bet we have. Would you play a real time with pause combat system?
That's you know, everybody would answer, yeah, I'd play a game with pause.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do when Persona 5 comes out.
How about if you played Mass Effect, which DLC would you recommend for
Kelly? Recommend Mass Effect DLCs. I love it.
My Twitter is going to be so blown up and I won't what to do and I'm going to cry.
You're welcome, Kelly.
Thanks,
if anything,
Peter.
We'll talk you into getting the packs where you get all of it so you don't have to decide.
You need to hit enter on the question of the week, Chris, so that I can read it. All right. Recommend Mass Effect DLCs to Kelly. If you want to provide feedback, there's a bunch of ways to do so. You can be like Victor and Shaman and Krull and Hairfrog, and you can go to rpgamer.com, find the latest podcast thread, slap down a reply there. You can email us, podcast@rpgamer.com. I promise I'm actually checking the email.
Yay!
You can call or text us.
Yay!
At 608-729-4098.
Woo!
Matt from Texas, step up, man.
Somebody sent a text the other day, but it wasn't... Oh, wait, that was last week's. Yeah, we covered it.
I don't know who you are, and I don't know why you're calling me, but stop calling me!
Okay, that's the voicemail I got on my work voicemail yesterday. Legit. They had one of those neighbor dial scams going on, and they thought we actually called them.
Do I need to send you another text about a horse?
Yes. Was that you?
Henry is not for sale.
Henry is not for sale yet.
All right, game releases this week.
Okay.
As mentioned, out of nowhere, Corruption 2029 is hitting PC.
Which one was Corruption 2029? Oh, that's Cyberpunk. No. Try again. Mutant Year Zero?
Right.
Yeah.
Isn't that Cyberpunk?
No. Totally different people. You're confused because they're also from Europe.
Doesn't this fall under Cyberpunk?
No.
Corruption 2029 is set in a near-future United States, putting players in charge of a group of augmented soldiers attempting to infiltrate the corrupted regime.
Oh, I thought you meant like it was from
that has caused the country to become a war-torn wasteland. Does that not sound like Cyberpunk to you?
I agree with this description better. It sounds like XCOM meets Metal Gear Solid.
Okay.
And I feel like that's more accurate.
All right.
I'll have to play it and get back to you if I have a way to play it, which I don't want to do because I didn't like their last game.
And as mentioned in the briefs, Conglomerate 451 hits PC. Katana Kami, A Way of the Samurai Story hits PC, PS4, and Switch. Also that came out this week, there was a game that I spotted called Goblin Sword, which is on sale for $3 at the moment. And it is called a retro-inspired action platformer with light RPG elements. And what? I don't know how to process that.
I don't know that anyone knows how to
so
process
that. So someone play this and let me know how it is.
That usually means Metroidvania.
But none of the screenshots look like a Metroidvania.
Well, I'm seeing 2D action with fighting. You get loot. You can spend it to buy items from some shots.
This looks very Zelda-esque, which means this should appeal to me.
This looks Zelda 2, which means Metroidvania.
Okay.
Zelda 2's Metroidvania.
Okay. Well, it's $3. I'm kind of debated to jump into it.
Yeah, this is indie, inexpensive, budget Metroidvania. Man, they got a lot of summons and traversal things.
Decorate your home with souvenirs.
Yeah, this is very Castlevania.
So I don't know.
13 bosses.
13 bosses.
89 levels that they list all this out on the store page.
Yeah.
This actually looks like it might be all right. I don't know if it's for me or not, but
for $3, I'm almost tempted to take the dive. And
it's normally $5. I wonder if it's any good. But yeah, it's certainly worth trying. Goodness.
So yeah, if people want to try that out, I stock a very, very large list of games that are on sale. And so I think I'm going to start including when those games are on sale in the new releases, even though they're not new releases.
I bet you this isn't too long either.
So we might have to rethink the name of this segment because I want to expand it.
What? To what?
Sales of things that I...
What's sales of things that you're interested in?
Yes.
Okay.
But we'll talk about that after.
I would love to have a sales section as long as you're somewhat comprehensive.
No, that would be the idea. Not even close to comprehensive. It'd be like, these two things look cool.
Buy them because they're on sale.
I would be down for that. I always love finding cute little indie games.
Is this the section where Anna outsources people to try games for her?
No.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think it is.
No.
This is on sale. Someone go spend money on it. And if you don't like it, don't feel bad because it was on sale. If you do like it, tell me so I can buy it. But tell me before it's off sale. Yeah, that's no personal motivation there at all.
I mean, some of these I'm going to buy anyways. Like, hey, Picross Lord of Nazarak. I bought it on sale. It's awesome. You should also buy it probably on sale.
Lord of Nazarak?
Yes.
What? Is that a thing you
played?
Yes. Okay. I don't remember what that was.
Well, it was 2 hours ago, so how could I expect you to remember?
Hey, now.
Okay, it's definitely time to wrap
up. Oh, this Gelato Games thing, this Goblin Sword, it's on iOS as well. For $2. $2.
You save a dollar if you go iOS.
There you go.
All right. Thanks, Kelly.
Have controller support? Yes.
Thanks, Kelly.
Thanks, Kelly.
No problem.
Thanks, Josh.
Sure.
Thanks, Peter.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Chris.
You're welcome.
We're out of here.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
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 Oh, where's the stop button?
Somewhere over there.
Yeah.